handling the scriptures tonight. We're going to look in 1 Samuel. We'll continue there with our studies in the life of David. And we're going to be on our 10th study. We're in chapter number 23 of the
book of 1 Samuel. And as David has, I guess we would say, matured, I think that's probably the right idea from what's going on with him. He is learning some things as far as we'll say his Christian life or his faith life that probably you and I need to learn too. I mean, sometimes we get to seeing some of these Bible characters and we'll say, boy, what a dummy. You know, what's wrong with them? But then you better go ahead and go take a good look in the mirror because it's me and you many times doing the same thing that they're doing. And David, up to this point, I guess we could say that there's a lot of things that David has done as he had acted in his own self, in his own thinking, and in his own way. And it's like, okay, this is what I need to do. And you know, you'll be honest with yourselves, a lot of times me and you, in our faith life, we do that. I mean, we just say, well, this is what I think's best. And without consulting God, without studying, without praying, without seeking God's faith, we find ourselves doing that a lot of times. I mean, and sometimes you got to make a decision, and I'll tell you, the best way you can do it is do it with God and not an impetuous or just a rash or just a offhanded decision. But too many times we do them that way. And now David gets to the place, and you're going to see in this particular chapter how that David changes to a man of inquiring, from being impetuous and just acting, to be a man that's inquiring about what to do from the Lord. So look with me in chapter number 23, and if you will, begin reading in verse number 1. It said, then they told David. Now this is after the end of chapter number 22, and he's talking about, you know, the slaughter that's happened back with the priest of Nob and all this. Then they come, whoever they are, they came and they told David, saying, behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they robbed the threshing floors. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord said unto him, go, smite the Philistines and save Keilah. And David's men said unto him, behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? And then David inquired of the Lord yet again. And the Lord answered him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand. So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. And it came to pass when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David from Keilah, that he came down with an ephod in his hand. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the evening. Thank you for your blessings, and thank you for your direction. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for the good songs and that point of our worship. And I pray now, God, you just add to it here as we worship you through studying the Word and as we learn from you and learn about you. And we'll thank you again for all you do. Save the lost. Speak to that one that needs you tonight. Give them some direction and some help from heaven. And we'll praise you and thank you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. We'll look here and begin to talk about this study. And the idea is this, that we're going to say, thank God for His showing. Thank God for His showing. There's some things that God is going to show David in his life, and it's going to come about because of what we just read here, that David inquired of the Lord. So I'm here to tell you tonight, I'm here to encourage you that you and I are to ask and inquire God when we're at some divisions in our roads, when we're at some hard places, when we're in a place where there's a decision that's got to be made. Brother, you better go ahead and get ready to ask God and wait on an answer from the Lord. So let's see what David does here when you begin to see these things. First of all, I think we can say this, that we can see that David can thank God for showing him the plan of his will. For showing him the plan of his will. I mean, you ought to thank God when God shows you what the plan for his will is. And, you know, sometimes it's not easy. It's not the most simple thing you can do. And you say, God, what's your will in this situation? What do you want me to do in this situation? And I'll tell you, all of us wrestle with those decisions. Maybe you wrestle with a decision about your job or about your family or about your future, about your finances, about the things going on in your neighborhood or your family or whatever it is. You'll have those kind of struggles, and we need some direction from God. Well, David has a similar situation here. David says the men are on the run. They're kind of hiding out from Saul, trying to stay away from him. And then the situation comes up, and the Bible tells us that the Philistines are coming up against this place called Keilah, and they're robbing the threshing floors. There are people that are out in the area of, and this city of Keilah is somewhere between where the Philistine stronghold of Gath is, where they stay, and over toward the land of Judah, where the main body of the Israelites are. It's a little place in between there. It's a small town, village, whatever you want to call it, and there they are being robbed of their food. I mean, their food supply is what's going to sustain them, what's going to keep them, what's going to help them to go along. And here it's being robbed by a bunch of thieving heathens. Amen? I mean, that's about all you can make out of it, right? So they're coming in, they're stealing the food, and somebody should be doing something. And really, you know who should be doing something? King Saul should be doing something. But you know what he's doing? He's got his mindset on finding David and slaying him. So he's not worried about some of his citizens. He's not worried about some of those folks that he should be protecting and helping. So the word comes to David, and it said, they're robbing the threshing floor, David. And it says in verse number 2, therefore David inquired of the Lord. He said, he began to pray and ask, shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord said to him, go and smite the Philistines, save Keilah. And then it says his men, David's men, said to him, look, we're scared over here where we are. We got Saul after us. We got problems of our own. And if we get out there with the Philistines, that's going to make bad worse. You know, we're going to be in a real situation. We're not sure we ought to do this. But you notice what it says? Verse number 4, then David inquired of the Lord yet again. And the Lord answered him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand. And what David did is what you and I ought to do. Hey, the Bible tells us, ask. I mean, it's pretty simple, isn't it? Pretty simple. Ask. When you've got something that's pressing, when you've got a decision, when you've got something that's got to be looked at, talked at, and make a choice of or a decision toward, the first thing you do, ask God about it. I mean, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, ask, seek, knock. He that asketh, he's going to hear. He that seeketh, he's going to find. He that knocketh, it's going to be open. Brother, I'm telling you, you and I still need to use the simple formula of prayer to get a hold of God, and he'll give an answer. Amen? God will give an answer, and that's what David is looking for. The plan of God's will is this. I mean, David is saying, hey, look, I'm thankful that God's ready to show me some things. So he asked, and you know what? He gets the answer that says, arise. I mean, twice God told him in verse number 2, go and smite the Philistines. And then again in verse number 4, and the Lord answered him and said, arise. Go down here, get this battle. I'm with you and you're going to win. Amen. Isn't it good when it's that simple? I mean, when you know that the Lord is on your side, in your corner, answering your prayer, all you got to do is just say, okay, Lord, here we go. I'm ready. And if you're ready, and if you're leading and guiding, hey, I don't have anything I can fear. And yet, he's got a group of men. They're fearful. David's prayed, got an answer to prayer. And you know what he's got to do now? He's got to be a leader, and he's got to advance. And you notice what the Bible said? Verse 5, so David and his men went to Keilah, and they fought against the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. Amen? Hey, David and his men, and especially David, prayed. He asked God, and God said, get up and go. And David got up and went, and they made an advancement, and they won the battle when they decided they could trust God. Can I tell you, it's the same thing in my faith life and in your faith life when we'll just simply say, God, I'm going to listen to what you've got to say, and we're going to move on. We're going to move on. David has gone from being reactive to every little thing in his own heart and his own mind, and now he's willing to follow the Lord. So I'm saying, first of all, thank God for the plan of his will. Thank God. Listen, he can thank God for showing him the purposes of the wicked. Thank God for showing David the purposes of the wicked. Now, all of this has gone on, and as I say, you know, here's David going down to fight the enemy that Saul should be fighting. Saul should have taken care of this issue with the Philistine, but he hadn't. And then in verse number 7, it said it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah. And Saul said, God hath delivered him into mine hand, for he's shut in by entering into a town that hath gates and bars. And Saul called all the people together to war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. Oh, man. Here's Saul, and he's got a perfect opportunity to kill David. That's what he's thinking in his mind. God has given him into my hand. He said, boy, God's delivered him into my hand. Verse 7, he's shut in, and he's in a town. He's walled in, and there's only one way in and one way out, maybe. And he said, I've got him. I've got him, I've got him, I've got him. Let's go, boys. Now, I mean, just think about that. As I said, David has delivered these folks by their need from being pillaged by the enemy. And now Saul, he ain't even worried about that. All he can see is the red in his eye is hunting David. So you know what he does? He's seen as, in this picture, as the relentless persecutor. I mean, he's not giving up. He's not changing his mind. He's not coming to his senses and saying, hey, wait a minute. David's having a fight that I should be fighting. David's battling an enemy that I should be helping him with. But no, he's just going to relentlessly pursue David. But don't you notice this? It said, and David, verse number 9, David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. And he said to Abiathar the priest, bring hither the ephod. Then said David, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant has certainly heard that Saul cometh to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. David said, now I know what's about to take place here. I see that I've heard that he's coming, and I know that he's after me. And I know that he's going to destroy this whole city. If that's what it takes for him to get me, he's coming to do that. And then he says, verse number 11, will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Amen. I want you to notice again, here's David, and he's saying, Lord, show me. First of all, he said, show me that you're going to be with me when I go face this enemy. And he did. And now he says, you show me that Saul's coming and what I need to do about that. And he says in verse number 12, then said David, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver thee up. Wow. Now, I want you to get this, that things change there in verse number 9. If you'll look, well, actually, it tells you that in verse number 6, that here comes Abiathar, the priest. Remember, he's the only one that has escaped from the city of Nob when all the other priests are destroyed. He's the only one left in the priestly line. Everybody else is dead. He's the only one left. And it said when he came down with an ephod in his hand. And you say, well, what is an ephod? An ephod was a type of a vest that the priests wore. And it was a holy vest. You go back in Exodus and Leviticus, and you can read all about those things where they had to make the dressing for the priest. Well, this was a particular thing. It's more like a vest that attaches at the shoulders, comes down over the arm, and it covers the chest, and it has some kind of pocket in it. In the front of it. And there was a whole lot more to that, and you could get into a discussion about the Urim and the Thummim and some of the other things, those little stones that got out. And, you know, we're not going to get into that. It just says simply that he came down with his ephod. And to David, this ephod represented the fact that God was there and would hear and answer his prayer and his inquiry. So he says, bring me that ephod. You see that where David tells him in verse number 9. He says to the Abiathar priest, bring hither the ephod. I got something I need to ask God. We need to know the answer to these questions. And as he comes, God gives the answer. He said, is Saul coming? Yeah, he's coming. Well, then what are we going to do? Saul's going to be a relentless persecutor. But I want you to notice, you see David as he becomes the respectful petitioner. He is the fella that is going to ask God and ask in a respectful manner and in a right way and say, God, I need some answers. Can I tell you today, we need to be respectful and ask God and petition and beg and plead with heaven when we need some answers to some things that are going on. Amen? You don't know what's going on with your family? Ask God. You don't know what's going on, church? Ask God. You don't know what's going on even in the world? Ask God. He'll give us some answers when we get to a place where we can respectfully petition with Him with our needs. And so David says, you know, is this going to happen? Yep, Saul's coming. Second of all, he says there in verse number 12, will they give me up? Yep. So look what it says in verse number 13. Then David and his men, which were about 600, arose and departed out of Keilah and went thither wheresoever they could. And it was told Saul that David had escaped from Keilah, and he forbare to go forth. Aren't you glad of this? God is the reliable protector. I mean, God protected David and his men from any kind of problem. And look what it says there in verse number 14. And David abode in the wilderness in strongholds and maintained in a mountain and in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day. But God delivered him not into his hand. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life. And David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. Thank God that God can provide and answer our prayer. God is somebody you can rely on. He asked him, he said, is this going to happen? God said, yeah, that's what's going to happen. He said, are these folks that's supposed to be here to help me? Will they help me or will they give me up? God said, they're going to give you up. You know what? I don't like to answer to either one of them questions, really. Well, I thought you'd protect me, God. He said, I am protecting you, dummy. I'm telling you what's going to happen, amen. Hey, listen. And you know what he does? David realizes, hey, this place is not where I need to be. Sometimes we're like that. We may be somewhere, and God may say, well, your best plan of action is to get out of here. That's what he's got to do. Can I tell you? The best plan of action for different people in the Bible has been to move on. I mean, when danger came, as a matter of fact, you remember Paul tried to talk those men that were sailing in chapter number 27 of the book of Acts. He said, it's now a dangerous time for sailing. We ought not to go sailing. Oh, well, they knew better than Paul did, they thought. But, you know, they got out there and the south winds were blowing softly. And then eventually the strong storms came and it blew the ship nearly to pieces. And they finally wound up shipwrecked. And Paul said, look, boys, y'all should have listened to me. But I want you to know God has come and told me that there'll be no loss of life anybody on the ship if you'll just stay with the ship. Amen. What I'm saying is God's a reliable protector. But, you know, our best defense, our best thought is to listen to him and do what he says to do. Listen to him. So David said, look, is this going to happen? Yep. Well, then what do I need to do? Are they going to turn me up? Yep. Well, you better get out of here then. We better hit the high trail. And the Bible tells us here that David and his men, which were about 600 at this time, remember before we talked about there about 400 of them, well, now he's picked up about 200 more. They went out of that city, and it said they just went whithersoever so they could. And it was told Saul that David had escaped. And so you know what? God changed his plans. God changed his plans in his heart. And thank God, amen, thank God for showing the purposes of the wicked. You know God will show you. You know what you need to do sometimes? Hey, how are my kids going to get along with this crowd they're with? God will show you. You can get them out of that mess. Amen? Hey, how am I going to do with this crowd here at work? You need to get out of them. You need to stay away from them. Or you need to join to them. Or you need to, you know, go here, go there, do this, do that, whatever it may be. You just simply need to ask. Again, go back to that simple ask and realize you can pray. And you can pray your way through and up to a whole lot of things that need to either be done or not be done. And that's what David is doing in this instance. And I'm telling you, thank God for his showing. He's shown David some things that David heretofore would have just made a decision and said, hey, I'm just going to do it this way. And guess what? Old brother Steve has done it that way too. And you wind up in a mess sometimes. When you say, well, I'm just going to do it this way, it's best to consult and ask God. All right. Thirdly, look at this. I want you to look at this. Thank God for showing his promises through some wise men. Now, while all this is going on, David and his men escape, and they're hiding out in the woods. They've gone, you know, they kind of spread out. And it says they're out in a place called the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. And it said, and Jonathan, Saul's son, arose, in verse 16, and came to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel. And I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul my father knoweth. And they too made a covenant before the Lord. And David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. I want you to notice here the things that go on. I mean, you know, here's David, and he can thank God for hearing that direct prayer and answering it. And he does. And he can be thankful for God showing him that Saul's still after him and what would happen in the aftermath of that if he didn't get away from that. But here, I want you to notice he can thank God for showing again and just reiterating the promises that were made to him before through a wise man. Thank God for some people that will come into your life that God will send into your life that have some wisdom. Aren't you glad for the wise saints of God? They'll say, hey, look, I notice this is going on. And I notice this is what you're facing. And I've got some good, wise counsel. And let me encourage you in that. Amen? And that's who Jonathan was to David here. Here comes Jonathan. And I believe that he slips away from Saul. And Saul doesn't even know that Jonathan's out here helping David. But it said in verse 16, Jonathan, Saul's son, arose. He went to David in the wood. And you know what he did? First thing that he does, he shows you his courage. He said, I'm not afraid to stand for what is right. Amen? Would to God today we had more men and women that stand up and say, hey, you know what? I'm not afraid to stand up for what's right. Well, my family, they'll get mad. Hey, just stand up for what's right. Well, you know, they'll be against the people. Yeah, but stand up for what's right. I believe that's what's got us into something of the mess. And a lot of the situations we're in today in a country and as a world, we backed up when we should have stood up and stood for what's right. Jonathan said, I don't care what Daddy said. That is wrong. That is not right with God. That is leading us in the wrong way. And I know what the real answer is. And he stood up by his courage and went to David. And he began to talk to David. You see that? He arose. He went to the wood. And listen, he gives him courage. But second of all, I want you to notice, or he takes his courage, but he gives David some confidence. Do you notice what it says in the latter part of that verse, number 16? And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose, went to David in the wood, listen, and strengthened his hand in God. He didn't go there and say, well, David, let's talk about old times and let's just sit here and let's just, you know, drink a cup of coffee and talk about the good old days. And no, he came there and he strengthened David in his resolve, and he strengthened, the Bible said he strengthened his hands in God. He said, David, let God be your strength. Let God be your portion. Let God have his way. And you just give yourself over to God. God's going to take care of you. I've got confidence in it, and I want to build up your confidence in the same very thing. Amen. And I tell you, when you got friends like that that want to encourage you in the Lord, hey, you ought to thank God for them. And that's what I'm saying. David, hey, I'm thankful that David had somebody come and show him and said, God's made you a promise. You know what he says there when he does that? He said he strengthened his hand in God. Listen, and he said unto him, fear not. He said, David, don't let, I know my dad's after you. I know you're concerned. I know what you're going through. I understand. He said, but for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find thee. Amen? Jonathan said, he's not going to find you. Now, how did he know that? Well, he put his faith in God. He said, hey, I know what this thing's all about. He said, the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find thee. And listen, and thou shalt be king over Israel. He said, and I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul my father knoweth. Jonathan said, I'm pitching my tent with you, buddy. I know what the truth is, and I know my father is not right in what he's doing. I know he's not where he ought to be with God. I understand every bit of that. And you guess what, David? I'm with you, buddy. And I'll tell you, this is a real friend. You know, we talked about this before when we were talking about Jonathan and David. And I think I told you, at that time, there'd be one more time when those two would get together and meet. This is it. This is the last time that David and Jonathan would ever see each other. This is the last meeting. But aren't you glad at the last meeting? Now, Jonathan has no idea necessarily what's ahead for him, necessarily. But he said, I want to tell you something. I'm with you, buddy. I'm your friend for life. And he said, when you become king, I want to stand right there by you and smile and brag on God and shout praises to heaven because I know you're the king. Amen? Isn't that good to know you got some friends that can be like that, that can encourage you and bless you and all that? I mean, it took some courage for him to come, but I'm glad of the confidence that he was given to David. And then last of all, look at this. Again, you know what he wants to do? Look what it says in verse number 18. And they too made a covenant before the Lord. This is the third time that you see this mention of David and Jonathan making a covenant before the Lord. I mean, they have decided we're joined in this thing together. Now again, don't let people tell you, oh, this has got something to do with a bunch of homosexual mess and that. Ain't got nothing to do with any of that junk. I mean, there ain't nothing to do with that. This is two men that have bonded their hearts together and they're wanting to do what's right for God. And Jonathan knows the will of God for David. I mean, he understands this is God's plan for the whole nation of Israel. David will be the king. And Jonathan said, I ain't fighting it. Well, everybody say, Jonathan, you're the prince, you're next in line, your dad's the king. He said, I ain't fighting it. I know who the real king is. And you know what? I'm going to back him. I'm going to encourage him. I'm going to bless him. I'm going to pray for him. I'm going to be what he needs for me to be. And so these two make this covenant again. And if you remember, the covenant is this. Part of the covenant is this, that Jonathan says, remember me and my family when you become king. Remember us. Don't ever forget. He said, I'm with you. My heart's with you. And again, I'll point you back to remember. When David becomes king, there comes a day when he looks around. He says, is there any yet left of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And there's a little boy by the name of Mephibosheth. We don't even see him in the picture here at all. You never see until that day. And it says, yeah, one of the servants come up and he said, yeah, there was one boy left. And David said, what's his name? He said, name of Mephibosheth. And David said, go get him. He said, we're not going to sit down till you go get him, bring him here, and we're going to settle this matter. And he showed him the kindness of God for his father Jonathan's sake. Amen. This is the covenant that these men are making. All right, let's look at one last thing real quick, if you will. Not only is he thanking God for showing him the plan of his will and the purposes of the wicked people, particularly Saul, and the promises that are coming through wise men, but last of all, in these last few verses, he thanks God for showing him the provision of his way. God makes a way. Amen? If you'll notice here in verse number 19, while these things are going on between David and Jonathan, it said, then came up the Ziphites. Okay? The Ziphites are the people that live there in Ziph. Boy, that's a name, isn't it? I don't know what to call people. I guess from Chickamauga, Chickamaugians. Is that what we are? Chickamaugians. Rossvillians. Lafessians is what I call some of them down the south of us. I don't know if that's right or not, but Ziphites are the people that are there in that area called Ziph. And I just think that's hilarious for some reason, but I mean, whatever. And it said, then came up the Ziphites to Saul to Gibeah, saying, doth not David hide himself with us in the strongholds in the wood in the hills of Hakalah, which is on the south side of Jeshimon? Now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of thy soul to come down. And our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand. Well, here comes this bunch of heathens out of the woods of Ziph. And they have a delivering intention. They say, hey, king, we can help you get David. We're here, and all you've got to do, we're going to help, and we're going to flush him out. Now, you got to understand, I mean, I don't know, I was thinking about this. We drove from here going up to Dunlap to the preacher, to a revival meeting here last week. And going up, I don't know if you've been up on Highway 27, okay? If you go up out of Chattanooga, go up Highway 27, and you get beyond Morrison Springs Road out there, Miss Becky. Keep on going north. And when you start headed up that way, man, all of a sudden, I mean, it's just woods. You know, there's not a lot of houses. It's a lot of forested lands. It's a lot of hills. It's a lot of, you know, high spots and green trees and all. I mean, it's just a lot of woods. And could you imagine somebody getting out there and hiding out from you or from the law or from somebody trying to track them down or whatever it is? You could get out there, and you could go from place to place out there. And even today, it'd be hard to find somebody out there in them woods. I mean, you see it all the time. They talk about people, maybe these convicts that escape, and they run to a sparsely populated area, maybe a national forest or wherever it is that they go. And they hide out in a wooded area. Well, that's what David and his men have done. Now, there's 600 of them, but you get 600 men spread out in a big patch of a wooded forest. I mean, they can hide, and they can't nobody find them. Well, these guys come to Saul, and they say, we're going to help you find him. We're going to deliver the goods, king. That's what they're saying. And then I want you to notice what his devious instructions are. Look what he says in verse number 21. And Saul said, blessed be ye of the Lord, for ye have compassion on me. Well, praise God, he said. What a devil. Amen? I mean, right there, trying to use the Lord's name. And he said, well, blessed be ye of the Lord, for you've had compassion on me. Go, I pray you, and prepare yet, and know and see his place where his haunt is. And who has seen him there? For it is told me that he dealeth very subtly. No joke. He's trying to stay away from you, knucklehead. You're trying to kill him. No wonder he's dealing kind of subtly and slyly and under the cover. He said, see therefore and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hideth himself. And come ye again to me with a certainty, and I'll go with you. And it shall come to pass, if he be in the land, that I will search him out throughout all the thousands of Judah. Boy, I mean, he's making a plan. He's plotting it out. And he's telling them. And all they're trying to do is get the favor of the king on their side. And old Saul is like, boys, I'm glad y'all come to me because y'all can trust me. Y'all are really going to be a help. And look, and they arose and went to Ziph before Saul. But listen, but David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon in the plain on the southeast of, or on the south of Jeshimon. And Saul also and his men went to seek him. And they told David, wherefore he came down into a rock and abode in the wilderness of Maon. Oh, let me tell you something. There may be somebody that's got some devious plans and ideas about all that's going on, but aren't you glad that divine intervention can come into play? I mean, God began to move David around from place to place. I say, you get somebody in a big wooded area, you get it where there's a few mountains and hills and hiding place. Buddy, I'm telling you, somebody can go into hiding, you might not find them. I mean, you just can't do it. But listen, it said here, when Saul heard that in verse 25, he heard before he was, he pursued David into the wilderness of Maon. And Saul went on this side of the mountain. And David and his men on that side of the mountain. And David made haste to get away for fear of Saul. They're in a roundabout situation. They're just kind of running here to there, here to there, here to there. And his men, for Saul and his men, compassed David and his men round about to take them. David and his men are encircled. They've got a big a group of soldiers that's circling around. David and his men are there, and they're like, oh no, we're trapped. What are we going to do? You know what David does? He does like me and you ought to do. You just rely on God to give the answer. Strangest thing in the world happens. Look in verse 27. But there came a messenger unto Saul saying, haste thee and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. God said, okay. You think you got him, Saul? Think you got him surrounded? God goes down and stirs the Philistines up and says, okay, boy, king's gone. Y'all go and start taking over in some of the land there in Israel. And all of a sudden, a soldier comes running up to Saul and says, hey, we got news from back home. And the Philistines have broke in. And they're taking over. And we got to go back. We got a war. We got to do something. And it says, wherefore Saul returned from pursuing after David, verse 28, and went against the Philistines. Therefore they called that place Selah Hamalakoth. And David went up from thence and dwelt in the strongholds in En-Gedi. Amen. I want you to look at that big long word there in your Bible, Selah Hamalakoth. I mean, I want you to look at that, and it says they named that place that. I don't know if your Bible's got a marginal reference or not, but that little word there, that little is not so little, it's a big old long word, but it means the rock of division. God said, I'm going to part ways between David and Saul right here at this spot. Even though Saul thinks he's got him, even though Saul thinks he's got the advantage, upper hand, and the Ziphites are helping him and everything else is going on, guess what? God can destroy anybody's plan that he wants to. And that's what he's done here in this situation. That's why I say there was a divine intervention. And David says, thank God for showing me what you've done in my life. Amen. Sometimes you just got to use that. God, you provided a way where there was no way. Amen? You remember that little song? I think Brother Logan sings it sometimes and heard other people sing it. Saying, did I mention that I love Him? How I worship and adore Him. When I can see no way, He makes a way. Amen? And that's the way David was there, and he said, there ain't no way out of this. God said, I got you. I'm going to send the Philistines in to tear everything up back at the house, and Saul's got to go back and fight. And he does, and David and his men got together, and they said, what does the Bible tell you there where he's hiding, where David is at this point? It says that David was in a place here in verse 26. David went to this side of the mountain. His men to that side of the mountain. Verse 25. Saul also and his men went to seek him. And they told David, wherefore he came down to a rock. Go to the rock. And the rock will become a dividing place of the mess that can come after you. God can make it a place of safety for you and a place of problems for whoever's coming after you. All you got to do is just trust in that rock. Amen? Trust in that rock. And then David and his men are delivered, and they decide, we're going to leave here in verse number 29. And David went up from thence and dwelt in strongholds and in Gedi. I mean, we'll look at that, get into that a little bit on the next go around, but can't you just see how that David is thanking God? And that's why I say, thank God for His showing. God will show you some things when you need to see them. Amen? And sometimes you doubt it. Sometimes you wonder. Sometimes your faith's not real strong. But can I tell you, God will show you when you need to know. When you need to know, He will give you safety. Amen? Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing a verse of a song this evening. Amen? I'm